and now online. Via various audio providers, on your phone or tablet, via your desktop or laptop, I don't know. It's time for another edition of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast.
Hello there, and welcome to a brand new show, Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. My name is Ian Danter, and you might know me as a football commentator and presenter on Talk Sport Radio, as well as hosting shows on Planet Rock as well. But equally, some of you might remember me as the host of comedy shows on local radio in the West Midlands at the start of the century. And to be fair, one or two of you might have bought something off me when I was a guitar salesman in Birmingham in the 90s, but that's not important right now. Anyway, this show will revisit sketches and songs from the days when I was on the air at either BRNB or Heart FM in the early 2000s. And as we go on, I'll mix some new stuff in along the same lines for you. So before I get started and delve into the treasure trove of mini discs that I've uncovered with all my stuff on there, there'll be some of you with absolutely no knowledge of my previous radio life before Premier League football and huge dollops of classic rock tracks. Let me explain how all this stuff came about. I was hired by 96.4 FM BRNB back in 1998, originally as the station's flying eye travel reporter after a total about turn in my life and career. But as time went by, I started presenting cover shows on the station, but didn't really have much of an identity as a presenter at a place that was brimming with brilliant personality jocks like Les Ross and Jezza, soon to be Jeremy Kyle. And of course, Graham Mack came along not long after I arrived at the station. I ended up getting put on Saturday overnights at one point by the boss, Paul Jackson, with a remit to put my voices and impressions that he knew about, that's why he hired me, to better use on air in a show. So I took his thoughts on board, the show's got way better, and out of that, me and my original co-presenter, Steve Beebe, got shifted to Saturday early breakfast, then to Saturday main breakfast, then weekday early afternoons, and finally onto the prestigious drive time slot by the spring of 2000 as host of the Barmy Brummy Show, as it became known. Steve left not long after, and me and my two cohorts who were brought in, Sean Percival and Andy Robinson, both fine local stand-up comics and writers in their own right, we used to then record and perform fresh comedy material that we'd written every day, mostly topical stuff based on the day's news and sport, but we also realised that we needed items that could act as benchmarks for the show, regular items that would appear at set times so the audience could get used to them and hopefully warm to them. It could kind of become appointment-to-listen radio. So to give you an idea, let's start off with one of those benchmark items we used to do. This is a character named Black Country Bob, dreamt up by Sean for a way to exploit his strong Tipton accent for comedy effect. We'd briefly tried characters like the Dudley Dalek or the equally ill-fated Jesus of Dudley. You're not hearing either of those two, by the way. But then he hit upon the idea of an obnoxious MP from the Black Country shouting over the then Prime Minister, Tony Blair, about something or other in the House of Commons that got his goat. But he always ended up hoisting himself by his own petard at the end through saying something unbelievably stupid to the delight of the backbenchers waving their bits of paper. So Black Country Bob was born and actually became an instant hit with the BRNB listeners and with Heart listeners too. Here he is at his odious, pathetic best. Sean, I have to say, was so good voicing this character, whilst I did a silly cartoon Blair-alike voice to help the stupidity along. Bob even had his own theme tune, for goodness sake. Listen.
He's in the House of Commons, he's parliamentary, and proudly representing his constituency. He's the perfect politician until he opens his gob. He's the MP for Dudley, he's Black Country Bob.
We Mr. Spiker!
Yes, Prime Minister's questions. Yes, a black country ball.
Mr. Spiker, I'll put it to the arse that not one penny more of taxpayers' money should be used to fund the pensions crisis.
But when women reach 60 and men 65, they'll have very little money.
Good!
I can't believe what the Right Honourable Member for Dudley has just said.
Why not?
When people become pensioners, they like to travel.
What?
You know, to see the world.
No, they don't.
What?
No, they don't. When people become pensioners, they like to moan and eat biscuits.
Oh, so, when the Right Honourable Member for Dudley retires, and good God, I hope it's soon, he's just going to sit at home, is he?
Nah.
Well, where are you going to go, then?
To the pub!
Of course. Well, the pub hasn't got a beach, though, has it?
You don't need beaches when you've got Banksy's!
Listen, this government will make sure that our pensioners are well provided for. They shall be encouraged to save, so when they retire, they can visit places like America!
Boo!
Africa!
Where would you want to go?
Rome and Paris and even India.
Oh, I used to go out with a wench from southern India.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What, Goa?
Oh, she went like the clappers.
Oh, unbelievable.
Order in the house, please.
What have you all lot laughing at?
Order.
Okay, moving on. Here's an example of us reacting to developing sports news on our show. Now, I remember the Racing Post and many news outlets ran big, big stories in the mid-2000s about alleged race fixing involving jockeys and betting syndicates. There were no horses implicated, as I recall at the time. Kidding. Anyway, during the Hart show that weekend, we thought we'd get some live horse racing on. And I crossed over to Ascot, and the legendary commentator took over, Mr. Peter O'Sullivan.
Yes, thank you, Ian. They're under starter's orders. And they're off. And it's well-known jockey being approached by a dodgy bookmaker, and after dodgy bookmaker, it's attempted bribery. Attempted bribery, closely followed by enormous bung, and thrown race. And after thrown race, it's huge payout, followed by luxury holiday, expensive car, and attractive girlfriend. And as they cross the many road, it's over to you, Paddy O'Hare.
Thank you, Peter. So well-known jockey and attractive girlfriend are neck and neck, but it looks like there could be a length between them. But here comes Old Bill. Old Bill closing fast. An attractive girlfriend has unseated her rider. It's well-known jockey being chased by Old Bill, and it's well-known jockey, and now it's under arrest, closely followed by Can I See My Lawyer, but Old Bill's refused, and at the line, it's well-known jockey, under arrest, followed by insufficient evidence, and then it's dropped charges, incompetent policeman, and finally, trailing in last under a severe handicap, and still in blinkers, it's ripped off punters. Ian, back to you in the studio.
Right, Gordon Ramsay here. You're listening to Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast, which to me is absolute f***. And in dire need of fresh ingredients, otherwise it's going under in 6 weeks, I promise you. Unbelievable.
Now, one voice that I've always loved doing as an impression was that of Arthur Lowe, Captain Mannering from Dad's Army, of course. But to me, as a young boy, he actually meant more as the voice of the Mr. Men cartoon stories that used to be on the telly early Sunday mornings, as I remember it. You know, Mr. Bump, Mr. Sneeze, Mr. Jiggle, etc., etc. Sean, Andy and me were talking about those stories in our daily BRMB meeting once. Can't remember why. And the idea sprung up about us writing Mr. Men stories that never got seen or heard for some spurious reason. And over time, we had Mr. Taxi Driver, Mr. Referee and so on. I'll try and dig those out for you as we go on. Here's an example we did to mock one particular Fleet Street newspaper mogul who just lost his job in very controversial circumstances. Take it away, Arthur.
Mr. Editor worked for a tabloid newspaper, and like most tabloid editors, he was an ambitious man who never let the truth get in the way of a good story. So, when some dodgy pictures appeared on Mr. Editor's desk, can you guess what he did? Yes, you're right. Mr. Editor printed them on the front page of his downmarket rag. Now, a couple of weeks later, after his sensational pictures were exposed as fakes, Mr. Editor was sacked. I don't care. I might not have a job, but I've got loads of money. Thought Mr. Editor. And Do you know why he had loads of money? Yes, you're right, because a few years earlier, Mr. Editor had bought thousands of pounds worth of shares the day before his newspaper had tipped them as a good investment. Now, a couple of months later, a tragic accident occurred, and Mr. Editor plummeted 100 feet to his death. And can you guess what he fell off? No, you're wrong. It wasn't a cliff. It was his wallet. Talk about poetic justice. So, Mr. Editor's family employed a stonemason to engrave Mr. Editor's tombstone. Now, the stonemason was familiar with Mr. Editor's career, and he had a son in the army, so can you guess what he wrote on Mr. Editor's tombstone? Yes, you're right. He put, "Here lies Mr. Editor. He was a ruthless, lying fraudster." Now, when Mr. Editor's family saw this, they went absolutely berserk and demanded an apology. So, can you guess what Mr. Stonemason did then? Yes, you're right. In the bottom right-hand corner, on the back of the tombstone, where no one would ever see it, in tiny 3mm-high letters, he printed a retraction. Poor Mr. Editor. The dying, idiotic...
Ian Dantas, Sunday Carve-Up. More music, more variety. Next up, I'm going to go back to 2005, when Sean and I were working together on the Sunday Carve-Up show on Heart FM. Now, I got into radio primarily because Tom Ross, head of sport at BRNB, heard about my football impressions. So I was always trying to get various ways to do managers and players in sketch form. And the idea for a spoof advert here was based on the fact that at this point in the 2005-06 football season, all three West Midlands sides in the Premier League were having a right rotten time of it. There was really a genuine chance that Villa, Blues and Baggies could all get relegated that season under Messrs O'Leary, Bruce and Robson. So Sean and I imagined an advert for a new computer game just for our region.
EA Sports brings you the ultimate battle for survival. West Midlands Football Manager 2005. Scratch your head like Steve Bruce, gesticulate wildly like Brian Robson, and talk crap like David O'Leary. Can you come up with the excuses that will keep you in a job in the top flight? Or will you just say the first thing that comes into your head?
They're a good bunch of lads in that way.
Another embarrassing home defeat at St Andrews.
Oh, blasted.
Another key midfielder on the Baggies treatment table.
Oh, bother.
And another quality player refuses to go to Villa Park.
Oh,
the transfer window is open, but the chairman's wallet is shut and the voices of discontent are getting louder.
What a load of rubbish! What a load of rubbish!
Well, I hope the players can't hear that, that's for sure.
That is the players, Mr. Bruce.
Who will you ring for advice? Jose Mourinho?
I believe you must follow your instincts and be true to yourself. Keep faith with your beliefs and your dreams will be realised.
Or will you ring Sunderland manager Mick McCarthy?
Can I phone you back, mate? I'm on the toilet.
West Midland Football Manager 2005 from EA Sports. When the board give you their full backing, no one hears you scream. And coming soon from EA Sports, West Midland Football Manager 2006. Same managers, same position in the table, but in a lower league.
Game contains scenes that glory hunting Man United fans will find hilarious. West Midland football teams can go down as well as up. Always consult your doctor before supporting a West Midland team.
This is former England manager Graham Taylor, and what you are listening to, is Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. Hey, what sort of thing is happening here online? Hey, Carlton, they're losing the shape. Tony!
Okay, this next feature was really the cornerstone of our show for 6 years, regardless of what station we were on. Des's Dedications, or Des's Diary, as we ended up calling it in Heart FM times, because we were on air at the weekends and what many workplaces open. See, Des Lynham was the man at the time, hosting football with a consummate ease, and he'd become something of a sex symbol for ladies with the style and panache he brought to the screen. Now, I'd often imagined him to my mates as a bit of a Leslie Phillips ding-dong type character with double entendres everywhere. So we thought about getting the BRNB listeners at work involved and see if they wanted Des to dedicate something for their office, factory or shop or whatever it might be. Once this idea gained traction, it was a huge reaction we got from all over Brum. Workplaces, honestly, they were falling over themselves to get a dedication on air for their female staff, and Des was always only too happy to oblige with his "Hi, girls," and "Fantastic" catchphrases. Never mind double entendres, there are a lot of single ones working their way into these bits. Here's an example from early 2002.
Des's dedications.
"Hi, girls. Des here on the Barmy Brummers Drive Time Show here on PRMB. And it's time once again for
Des's dedications.
Don't forget, 25-00-964. That's always the number that gets you the
smoothest dedication for your workplace.
And today, it's a big
"Hi, girls."
To all the staff at Birmingham's Winter Sports Society, with whom,
would you believe it,
I recently flew out to Salt Lake City to check out the facilities for the Winter Olympics. On our first day there, I showed my girlfriend something really impressive.
"Oh, my God, it's the longest one I've ever seen. I can hardly wait to slide down that,"
she said as she surveyed the toboggan run.
"I can't believe how hard and thick it is,"
she groaned later that morning as I gave her a good puck on the ice hockey rink.
"Oh, you know, the hotter it is, the wetter it gets,"
she murmured as the sun began to melt the snow. But it wasn't until I took her on the bobsleigh that I really made her breathless.
"Oh, thanks for letting me get on it. You've given me the ride of my life,"
she gasped.
"Fantastic."
So, Carol, Vanessa, Pauline, Dave, Marcus, and Diane, if you're listening, the last word was left to me as I was halfway down the ramp on the 100-meter hill. "There's nothing like a good jump in the snow," I yelled as I shot into the air.
Cheerio.
Dial Des now. Birmingham 25-00-964. It's Des's dedications only on BRMB Birmingham.
Back to the football stuff. And since being on TalkSport, I've been asked many a time who the most difficult manager to deal with has been in my 20 years covering football. And the answer's always the same: David O'Leary, during his time at Villa. And no, it's not just because he's Villa. For example, John Gregory and Graham Taylor before him were always great to interview and complete gentlemen, but not David, I'm afraid. I found him to be constantly rude and unnecessarily curt with all of us radio guys. And he used to conduct post-match press conferences almost on the half turn, trying to get away after one question to rights holders like us, who weren't asking him particularly spiky questions at that time, I must say. One thing that cropped up during his latter time at Villa Park was his inability to see that he was accountable for anything that was going wrong. He once called the Villa fans fickle prior to a crucial home game against Fulham. I was working at that game and I clearly remember an orange bedsheet being flown from the Holt End that day, saying simply in huge black painted lettering, "We're not fickle, we just don't like you." Now, Doug Ellis used to have banners routinely seized if they criticised him. That one stayed up. So did Villa, actually, just. But I always enjoyed having a bit of fun at David's expense. And here he is, arriving in my Heart FM studio late for a chat with me and in a bit of a fluster, apparently.
I'm sorry, Darian. I'm a bit shook up today. I've just been in a car accident coming here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, what happened?
It wasn't my fault there, Ian.
Naturally.
Yeah, the other car, it just came out of nowhere and I went right into it. It wasn't down to me there, Ian.
Crikey, well, what speed was this car going at then?
Not very fast at all there, Ian.
Well, what did the driver say to you?
There wasn't actually a driver there.
Oh, what? So it was a runaway car?
No. The brakes were on, yeah.
Oh, what? So it was in the middle of the road then?
It was up against the curb there.
Hang on, so let's get this straight, David. The car hadn't got a driver, yeah. It wasn't moving, yeah. And it was up against the curb?
Uh, Well, in that way, yes, Ian, yeah.
So basically you've just gone into the back of a parked car?
Yeah, you could say that, yeah.
But so it's your fault then, Mr. O'Leary? You're to blame?
No. It's injuries. Injuries to blame for that.
Oh, how can it be that?
It's the chairman's then, and that why...
Oh, come on, he wasn't involved.
The fans. The fans, it's their fault. The fans' fault.
Oh, come on, Mr. O'Leary, please, own up. Take the responsibility.
Local journalists, they're to blame. Yeah, it's all down to them local journalists.
Weren't any journalists there. Oh, come on, David. Just say it. Oh. I got it wrong. Everyone makes mistakes. You, me, everybody. Just admit it.
No. I'd nothing to admit there. It was God's fault. Yeah. God is to blame for all this.
Oh, out, David. God, I've had enough. Out.
Well, if God hadn't created the world, none of this would ever have happened. Ian, you just can't argue with that.
Yes, thank you. Goodbye, David.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening right to Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. Ian Danter? Who the f*** is that? I've never f***ing heard of him.
Now, just to prove to any Villa fans listening to this that I have it in for them only and never for my lot, here's another mock interview I did with the then Blues manager Steve Bruce on the Sunday Carver. Now, the previous Monday night, at Upton Park, Steve's son, Alex Bruce, was picked to play by his old man instead of Nicky Butt in midfield. We lost 3-0, and it didn't go down well with Blues fans who thought there was an obvious reason why Alex was in the starting 11 and it wasn't about current form. As it happened, Blues were playing a Sunday afternoon TV game at Stoke whilst my Heart FM show was on 6 days later, so we thought we'd pretend to cross to the Britannia Stadium for some exclusive team news ahead of the kickoff.
Well, hello there, Ian. How are you doing? You're right.
Yes, I'm fine, Steve. But listen, I wanted to talk to you about this. Since your son took Nicky Butt's place in the team on Monday night at West Ham, there have been loads of mumblings around the club about nepotism.
Well, you know, that's absolute rubbish there, Ian. Mm. The Birmingham City team is picked entirely on merit.
Right.
I can categorically assure the club's owners and supporters, players, and you yourself, Ian, there, right, that will always be the case while I'm the manager here.
Right, thanks for clearing that up, fella. Now, listen, Steve, about 20 minutes to kick off. What's the team today?
Well, in goal, it's Dave Bruce.
Right.
Back four, you've got Adam Bruce,
what?
Mark Bruce,
who?
Philip Bruce, and Julie Bruce.
Come on, Steve. Julie Bruce, is that your wife?
Yeah, well, don't be stupid, Ian. I wouldn't play my wife in the back four.
Oh, good, thank God for that.
No, she's in midfield, along with Dick Bruce, Stephen Bruce, Roland Bruce.
Look, Steve, stop there, mate, stop there. This is obviously nepotism. The whole team share your surname.
Well, you know, that's an outrageous claim, Ian.
Is it?
And I'm not going to dignify it with a reply.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to get my new assistant manager to answer that question for you.
Okay.
Granny?
No.
Granny?
No, please.
Granny, come here and talk to Ian Danter about our selection policy.
Right, thanks. I think we'll leave it there. Thank you, Steve Bruce.
Hello?
No.
Hello?
No.
Does she not want to talk to us about the team?
No, not to you, love. No, thank you.
All right, my loves, Brucey here. You're listening to Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. Old Podcast, Barmy Danter's Ian, you're listening to... Marvellous.
All right, then, finally, for our first episode, we are going back to the very early days of the Barmy Brummies here, and a song that I'm asked about and asked for probably more than any other. Earlier, I played you a Dez's dedication sketch, right? Here was the moment early on in our career when Dez came to life, really, as one of our regular characters in song. In the BR&B building, you see, you sometimes found backing tracks lying about when artists had come in and sung live to it on the air. Craig David was a massive pop star in 2000 and had been in to see us, and I found the backing CD for his hit 7 Days in one of the production studios not long after. I said to Sean, well, we must make use of this somehow for a parody song. Sean took it on and wrote the lyric around Dez, who was a regular character on our show by that time, and the sort of housewife's choice Lothario type character we were already building him up as. The song went out on air, and it was so popular we had to repeat it again and again, and it made the national newspapers by the end of it all. Not only that, but at the next BRMB party in the park at the Alexandra Stadium later in the summer, I actually sang this as Dez in front of 20,000 Brummies and got a huge ovation for it too. Absolute madness. By the way, I've beeped out the name of Dez's conquest here. It's only right and proper to protect the innocent. So here you go. Dez Lynam sings Craig David.
On my way to see Terry Venables, who lived a few doors down from me. And as I walked through the subway, it must have been about 3:15. In front of me stood young... not bad at all, you know. She asked me the time. I said it had cost her a 6-digit number and a date with me tomorrow at 9.
Did she decline?
How could she?
Didn't she mind?
Well, she's only human, isn't she?
Or was it for real?
Oh, yes, fantastic. 50 million for 2 years, I think. Well, of course, she couldn't wait, could she? Well, got an update for you. Well, she said she'd love to rendezvous. She said we'd start with a bottle of Moët or two. Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by the Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday. Nasty rash on Monday. Went to the clinic on Tuesday. Antibiotics on the Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Cleared up on Sunday though, don't you know? Fantastic. Check it out.
So there you have it. Just imagine me singing that lyric to 20,000 plus Brummies on a live stage to rapturous applause back in the day. God, world had gone completely mad even then. Okay, that'll do us for episode one then of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. Really hope you've liked it. Thank you for listening. I would dearly love to get your feedback on the show. Best way to do that with me, if you're on social media, is via Twitter, please. You'll find me at TalkDance. That's at TalkDants. Okay? Now, if you're a long-time listener to my nonsense from way back when and there's a particular sketch or song that you remember from those halcyon days at BRMB or Heart and you want to hear it again, please let me know what it was and I'll endeavour to find it in these dozens of mini discs I've got laying about here. Might be a bit needle in a haystack though, alright? Just bear with me. Episode 2 coming soon, I hope, if this one gets enough love, and I'll be able to delve into the archive a bit further for you. Take it easy, keep smiling, and I'll hopefully see you back here for the next instalment of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. As Des would say, cheerio.